Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to Girl. My name is Paige. I'm one of the co-hosts of Girl. You may notice that Amaya is not here today. That's because this is a solo interview episode. So I'm going to be alone for a little bit, and then I will be joined with the wonderful guest that we have today, Kenzie Elizabeth. So let's just jump right in to my personal problem.
That sounds like a personal problem.
Let's see. Oh, I got it. It's definitely not really a problem at all. It's just something that kind of annoyed me. So I go to the farmer's market every Saturday, and I always get this breakfast biscuit, this bacon, egg, and cheese breakfast sandwich from this biscuit company. And this weekend, they weren't there. And I was actually really, really upset because I was really looking forward to having that biscuit sandwich for breakfast, and they didn't have it. So I just came home and had eggs. But I didn't let it ruin my day, so it was fine. Hopefully they'll be there next week and I can get what I wanted. I am so, so, so excited to be sitting down with Kenzie Elizabeth today. She's so smart, talented, and is just a great role model. She's very inspirational. I'm just really honored to be sitting down with her today. So I hope you guys enjoy.
Hey guys, welcome back. I am so excited to be here with Kenzie Elizabeth. She is wonderful, amazing, and so talented. It's just like an honor for you to be here.
Oh my gosh. Hi. Thank you for having me. That was quite the intro.
Thank you for being here. It's really awesome. This is one thing me and Amaya have talked about what guests to bring on. We're like, Kenzie Elizabeth, 100%.
Oh my gosh. Thank you guys for thinking of me. I love coming on podcasts. It's so much more fun to be on someone else's podcast than like hosting your own.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's just jump literally right into the questions. What's your favorite book?
Okay. Can I go with what I'm currently reading? Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. I have so many favorite books and I feel like I've really harped. Actually, no. You know what I'm going to say is It Ends With Us. I feel like I've really harped on the books that I found amazing, and I'm literally on like upwards of 50 books in 2020. All I do is read. So I have so many. I typically like thrillers and like romance-y books now, which I was never into romance books until recently. But I think that the book that I think the most about, this is how I measure my favorite books. It's not even necessarily while I'm reading it. It's like if I'm thinking about it after, is It Ends With Us by Colleen Hoover. It's just, I mean, it's definitely a romance book, but like, I feel like the romance genre has like such a, you know, bad connotation to it. It's so much more than that. It's like this crazy storyline. The ending is wild. Like, it's one of those books where you finish and you have to like think about it for the next few days to like really like decide how you feel about it. But it was so good.
Yeah, I really love books like that. I have had a few books in my life where I'm just like, I feel like I need to read this again because I'm just so like enamored by what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I totally agree.
I enjoy like seeing you post about what books you're reading because it kind of like inspires me to read, and I don't, but I should and I need to because I always feel like so much better after I read.
It's like, yeah, relaxing. It's so relaxing. It is my... I've always been a big reader. I've definitely upped my reading in like this year, the past probably like 6-7 months, but it is just so good for me, especially because it occupies your hand. So you can't be scrolling on social media or like mindlessly on your phone. So it's a really great way to disconnect.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely find myself like watching Netflix and on my phone and doing something else. And I just like, I like when I'm traveling and I can just put my phone away and get a book and just like sit and read. And I don't feel pressured to like answer emails or text or be on Instagram and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, for sure. I'm literally deleting in like 2 hours after I do this Instagram live thing, I'm deleting social media for the weekend. And I've literally never been more excited for a weekend in 2020 than this one. I'm not leaving my house and I'm deleting all social media and it's going to be the most incredible thing and I'm going to read. That's pretty much it.
That sounds amazing. It sounds so great. Social media can be very consuming, not just like time-wise, but just in general. Like I definitely find myself unfollowing people a lot, being like, I just can't have your energy. It like, yes. I can't see you continuously. And that's something I've been working on for 2020 is unfollowing people that make me feel bad about myself, because like, that's just not, I'm trying to be confident and, you know, like, just, it's hard being 18 and like growing up in this time. And so I definitely have found like unfollowing people and taking time away from social media is like super helpful and beneficial.
Oh, for sure. I was talking to my therapist about this actually yesterday, but I was just sharing how I don't feel like I'd really been, like, I feel like I've really been struggling with comparison lately, but not in the sense of I don't want other people to succeed. I only want other people to succeed, but just like placing almost more pressure on myself. So, and I also understand like when I say that, it's like, okay, like, it's really important to keep in mind with comparison is that there's always going to be someone who's comparing themselves to you as well, you know?
Yeah.
So like that kind of like helps me a little bit just be like, okay, like this is like a human experience rather than it's like end all be all. But I just find with social media, I used to be very proactive with, you know, having a few days a month at least where I didn't have it on my phone. So that way I kind of controlled my relationship with social media and social media didn't control me. Mm-hmm. And I haven't done that all of 2020, probably in the most draining year there ever has been, right, especially in terms of social media. So I'm trying to just get back to the point where I feel like I have more control over social media than it does over me. And I have a healthier relationship with it, because I find that when I'm just kind of letting social media like run my life or like my emotions, or I'm constantly looking at the news and stuff, which is all important, but in a healthier way than I've been like consuming it, I think I end up kind of going off the rails, and then it leads to like unhealthy patterns like comparison or like feeling bad about myself or whatever that might be.
Yeah, I actually really like that idea, and I'm really considering deleting social media off for like a week. Yeah, I love that. How do you stay inspired just kind of in general? Like, how do you stay inspired to like get out of bed and just continue doing what you love to do?
I think my biggest thing with staying inspired would be to rest. And I find that when I'm not resting at all, and there's a difference between like being lazy and then resting, because resting kind of refuels you. So it's things that, like for me, for example, resting consists of like reading is a big thing, cooking, going on walks. I love going to the lake near my house, things like that. When I'm not making time to rest, I easily fall into the habit of like overworking myself. And then I think that I'll try to like find more inspiration just by kind of like driving myself into a wall. And at times, sometimes I'm not like motivated. And there are times when I have to just be like, no, I'm just working and like, you know, I'll figure it out. And then I'll kind of get inspiration from that. But for the most part, I think rest is my like my biggest thing. There was actually a time kind of going back to social media breaks where it was fall of 2018 and I deleted social media from my phone for 3 weeks, but I had someone else had my account on their phone and I would just send them photos to post because it's still my job. So yeah, like going off for 3 weeks, like I still need to post in that time. And that was really good for me because I felt like I had a lot more time to rest and like focus on what inspires me and like my own lane, rather than also seeing, just being like way too overexposed to what everyone else was doing. And so it kind of almost hurt my inspiration as well as so many other things in life. So yeah, I think my biggest thing with that would just be rest.
Yeah. Kind of going off of like staying inspired, like how do you deal with hate? I know that can definitely be just hard. I can't imagine.
Yeah, so you have caught me at a time when I'm probably at my worst with dealing with hate. It's so weird because sometimes I will go through years at a time where a hate comment will not affect me at all. And then I will go through a time where, like this year, I know I keep just saying 2020, you know, whatever. But typically hate comments come from people who are just kind of bored at home and they don't have anything else to do. And then, you know, I'm sure they're going through things and insecurities as we all are. And typically the hate comments are coming from those who are bored at home, right?
Yeah.
So then you go through a quarantine, right? And we're all bored at home with nothing to do, right? So hate has definitely gone up. And just the nature of like this year has been so horrible and so hard with like the racial injustices and everything and people either the people not speaking out, people, whatever that is.
Yeah.
And we're just in a very divided time in this country regardless. So the hate is like astronomically higher than normal. And it has definitely affected me a lot more. But I mean, I'm really on a therapy. And I think for me personally speaking, hate bothers me a lot when I'm emotionally healthy. And I think I've gotten to a place where I'm not as healthy as I once was, which is why I'm at the weekend off the end stuff. So just being proactive in like totally different areas of my life and taking care of myself, because when I'm in a healthier place, hate doesn't get to me. But lately I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm almost like reactive to the hate. And like, that's normally not me. I'm really like, I don't care, whatever. Unless like there are times I get hate comments and I'm like, okay, they're right actually. But yeah, I think dealing with hate, I have to just be very proactive and like be taking myself, because the only time it bothers me, not the only time, but one of the times that it really does get to me is when I'm not in like the best place ever and I'm already like down on myself or just kind of thinking negatively, and then I'm reading these hate comments and then I kind of like keep reading them and yeah, they're right or that or whatever. So I think I just have to be very proactive in how I'm taking care of myself for them to not bother me, but they definitely can get to me, and there are times like, I read them and I feel nothing. So really just depends.
Yeah. I feel like cancel culture is like a really big thing right now, which I don't like, because I think people can grow from their mistakes, and you know, people aren't the same person they were 10 years ago. A lot happens. Mm-hmm. A lot of growth happens in 10 years. And so I like, whenever I see a hate comment, I'm just like, why? Just, you don't need to be like, it's just confusing to me why people just can't just shut your mouth. Can't say anything nice, you know?
Yeah. I think I actually was talking to my boyfriend this morning about this cancel culture. I was reading this article on feed and it's just so hateful, and like, girls, no. Basically, like dragging down people from things that were said years and years and years ago when they've made so many strides to grow from that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and I was just saying, you know, I think there are definitely, I am a very against cancel culture. I do understand and definitely see and like validate that there are times when people should be removed from jobs or certain positions or leadership roles or, you know, whatever that is, for things that they are doing and ways they've like kind of brought oppression on other people, whether that's like racially biased, gender, you know, whatever that might be. But I think for the most part, cancel culture is really unhealthy, and we need like accountability, and we need accountability and then helping people grow, because we are never going to get to where we want to be when we're just like canceling people and like deeming them as unworthy or whatever that might be, because they're going to stay that way. And like, how are they supposed to grow? And I also think people who are so hateful and like trying to cancel these people online, like, can you honestly say 10 years ago, every single thing you said 10 years ago, you would stand by now? Mm-hmm. Like, we've all said things we don't agree with, you know? And I'm like, I just think it's extremely unfair, and I think there needs to be more of a focus on like accountability and then helping people grow, which I think is also incredibly difficult. And I don't think it's the jobs of like a Black woman, for example. If someone says something towards her, it's not her job to educate that person. It's not her job. So it's like there's so many layers to it, but I also think we're really doing a big disservice to holding people accountable to who they were 10 years ago, because it's very, very hypocritical, because those doing that are not holding themselves to the same standard. I see how yes, I get it, but I also am like very anti-cancel culture and just think it needs to be definitely remodeled.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's, people forget that like people in entertainment and, you know, influencers, I guess, people with a larger following, they're normal people too, and they've made mistakes. And like, I think you can't come and attack someone for something if you're not perfect either. if you've made mistakes and if you're not owning up to that, like, why are you going and attacking someone? A, you don't know. You don't know what they're dealing with. Like, you don't know what they're doing to educate themselves or grow and stuff like that. So I just, yeah, don't agree with it. But on a lighter note, what's your favorite place you've traveled?
I'm really weird with traveling. I mean, I loved Greece. That was beautiful. But I also love traveling for work almost more than, like, vacations. As of right now, I think just because I'm, like, younger and I like traveling myself. And then I am like, oh, this is for work. I love that. Whatever. So, like, just on a day-to-day basis, if I'm going to travel somewhere, it's probably to New York. Like, that's where I would want to be. I'm just going, like, U.S. right now. But also, I love Nashville. I want a second house in Nashville, which, like, doesn't really make sense because would I do that when I live in Dallas? Like, it's not that different. Yeah. But I just love Nashville. It's, like, beautiful. But, like, as far as real travels, I think I would have to go with Greece. I really like Santorini because there's, like, not much to do there. People who are younger typically, like, Mykonos or all the, like, kind of party islands, and I love Malibu because there's nothing to do there. And so I love Santorini because there's nothing really, there's obviously things to do there, but it's not a party island. And
yeah,
it's just really relaxing.
Yeah. I like vacations for me is like a mixture of relaxing and then also doing fun stuff. Like when we travel, I like going to the ocean. I mean, we have one here, but it's like freezing, so it doesn't really count. Yeah. But I love jet skiing. So anywhere I can jet ski or like get on a boat, but then I also just want to relax and spend a few days to just take a deep breath and just like,
yes,
not worry about anything.
I love jet skiing too. My mom, this year has done a career change and is now, doing short-term rental, like lake properties and stuff. So they keep buying all these lake houses, have so many, but because they're renting them out, but, and she's an interior designer, so she's like redoing the houses and it's like this whole thing. She basically like thinks she's like HGTV kind of thing.
Yeah.
But that I love that. Like I'm going there next week and it's like not far from me at all. And just like going to the lake and like that's just the best.
Yeah, that's awesome. Where do you get your fashion inspiration? Because you have going through your Instagram, not only is your aesthetic like amazing, it's just so like nice to look through your feed, but also you dress just like you have a good mixture of like high fashion, I guess, and then like athleisure.
Thank you. I'm like so hard on myself when it comes to my like feet. So thank you. Yeah, I love athleisure wear and I love dressing up. I've definitely dressed up less because I'm just like not really in my house this year apparently, but it really just depends. I love Hailey Bieber's style and her stylist actually went to the Pilates studio that I went to.
Oh, wow.
So, like, I really follow stylists because like they're the ones who are picking like she like her stylist basically has made this popular. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
I like a lot of streetwear. I like Hailey Bieber. I have on my Instagram, I can actually just go through really quickly for you, a board that I'll save that's like certain looks or whatever. So if I don't know what to wear, I like will always go to this board to get inspo. And honestly, that's like anyone and everyone. It's not just one person, but a lot of bloggers, honestly, a lot of people on Instagram that I don't even know, I'll just see something and save it. And cause I like certain things. Mm-hmm. I think that this year I've actually really transitioned into almost like, I don't want to say like a beer style, but I don't know how to describe it. Like, I just feel like I'm dressing a little bit older. Maybe the things, I'm not really posting these things, but one of the outfits that I love right now is this like classic long sleeve shirt with this like, these like really cool, just normal like pants. And I don't know how to describe it. It's not preppy necessarily, but it's definitely a more mature look.
Yeah.
Which is like, new. I mean, I keep like country club chic, but like, it's really not even that because it's not like J. Crew, but I don't know. It depends, but I think Hailey Bieber.
Yeah, I love her style. I've been trying to like expand what I'm wearing because I wear like sweatshirts and sweatpants and leggings all the time. So I'm like, okay, just look at Instagram and when you see something you like, you know, like save it and then just try to. I just like don't like getting stuck in one kind of, I don't know, outfit. type thing.
Yeah, like, look, I'll wear, like, cowboy boots one day to just one style.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of your Instagram, I've been loving seeing, like, videos and pictures of your dog. He's so cute. What have you, like, what have you learned from being a dog mom?
So, I have, actually, I have two dogs. So, Coco, I've had for, like, 4 years, but she's so easy because she's, like, 5 pounds, no problem, like the easiest, literally the easiest dog that there could ever be. And now I have a golden doodle, Fitz, who is probably like 20 pounds, I want to say at this point. When I got him, he was 9. He hears his name right now, so he's like moving. But he's definitely a lot more work. Like, I think just as far as like how my life has changed and things I've learned from it, it's nice almost because I am home by myself all the time, so it's nice to like have to go out and do something for someone else, or like I like the walks and stuff. It's actually been really good for like mental health, just getting out of the house and having to go outside. So I think that's been one thing, but yeah, it's definitely been a very large jump. I was okay, I already have a dog, it's not going to be that big of a difference. Like, I even texted Lauren and I was like, what's the difference between when you had Stella and Nugget? Like, what, you know? And she's like, honestly, she's more expensive. But I wasn't thinking like, oh, I'm going from a 5 pound dog to like a potentially 50 pound dog.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been fun. Like, a lot of work. So cute. And like, he's just so sweet.
Yeah. I have two dogs. One's actually behind me asleep on my bed. She's a Boston Terrier Chihuahua mix, and she is old. So we have had her for like a long time, and we had another dog, but she passed away. It's okay. And so we got a puppy like 2 years ago. We literally got her and she was like 4 months old, and she's a Chihuahua, and she is the cutest thing, but we were not prepared for it at all. Like,
yeah,
now she's 2 years old and she weighs 7 pounds. So like, she is the tiniest thing, and she's
that's
so
Coco. Yep.
Yeah. I just like, I love dogs so much. And I know when I move out and live on my own, I want a big dog to like protect me in case something happens. Uh-huh. So yeah, it's so fun. I love it.
It is so fun. That's the other good thing too. Like, I have a security system already, but I'm like, Fitz will just take care of me. Like, matter, no one can hurt me.
Yeah, yeah.
He like hides from them, like actually just like leads the way to my room, like he does nothing.
My dogs just bark. They like, yeah, they don't do anything, they just bark. So you recently didn't really come out with it, but like released The Living Room Daily. Yeah, tell me more about that, because I've been like really interested in hearing about it.
So The Living Room it's on Patreon. That's why she was like, I don't know the verbiage either. I'm like, we like started this thing, like we didn't release, but like, I don't know. Anyways, it is like a faith content subscription service. So like, faith is a pretty like big thing that I talk about pretty often on my social media. And I always get questions, kind of going more into depth on it. So we ended up making, for like lack of a better word, The Living Room, which is just a faith content subscription service. So it's on Patreon, it's $10 a month, and then there's like 6 videos a month at least, and then normally there's only supposed to be 2 podcast style episodes and 2 guided prayers, but I think right now there's going to be more podcast style episodes. This is our first month, so things are just kind of changing, but it's just a space to like get a lot more specific and detailed. It's also, I'm a lot more open on there because it's behind a paywall, so I feel a lot more protected than I would on like YouTube, where anyone in the world can see it.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, it's not the only place I'll ever talk about faith or anything like that. It's not like you have to pay for it or whatever. This is just if you're interested and kind of just diving deeper.
Yeah, I like that you created something that you like, not only people want, but that you also love and like are interested in talking about. I really like that. Personally, like, it's kind of hard to talk to. I've been struggling with my faith a lot since December. My best friend was killed in a car accident. And so, like, since then, it's just been, like, super hard to understand anything. And I grew up Christian, and, like, I just have lost, like, so many people. I think that's the biggest thing for me. I'm like, well, like, if there is God, why would he have let my best friend die? And I'm trying to think like, okay, well now she doesn't have to deal with coronavirus and all this, but then also at the same time, I feel selfish being like, well, I get to go to college and I get to do this, and she never got to do that. Like, it's just like, I know it's hard always losing somebody, but like your best friend, I feel like, of my entire life, like I've known her since I was born. So that's like, I've definitely really been struggling, and seeing your post about it, it's been interesting to like, it just gives me a different point of view and being like, okay, well, you know, I like hearing what you have to say about it. And one of my questions is like, what advice do you have for someone struggling with their faith? Because I'm kind of at like a lost point here.
First of all, I'm so sorry for your loss. I will actually, I will see how I can send it to you. I'll send you like kind of like my testimony episode, because my brother, my stepbrother actually passed away the December before that, so of 2018. And a year and a half before that, my cousin, who like my sister, had passed away. So it was like within a year and a half, I lost like two very, very close family members to me. So I totally, totally, totally get it. I actually didn't grow up in church either, which I think has actually been a big advantage for me, because I am able to relate to a lot more people than just the people in the church. And I don't necessarily talk like that and whatever. And I'm so for the local church, it's like where I want to be the rest of my life. But it's kind of helped me. And I think sometimes people are like, oh, I didn't grow up, I don't know it, whatever. And I just kind of own it. I'm like, I even went to Bible college and I will never know everything, you know? Yeah. I think it's just like, God handle your emotions. He's not afraid or disappointed in you for struggling with your faith. I think it's actually more noble and braver to be like, I'm actually really struggling with this, God. Like, I'm really angry. And this was something I have dealt with a lot in my life. And I remember at one point even being like, God, I'm an atheist. And it's like, okay, I'm not an atheist because I'm telling God that, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Kind of counterintuitive, but I think just with struggling with your faith, I think it's really important to process through emotion. I think it's really important to tell God that, like, it's not, he's not afraid of your emotion. He can handle your emotion. And also realize that it's like a really real normal part of the human experience. It's just like you, I think you're in the right place is what I'm saying. But if you're trying to kind of like get back into faith or, like maybe like dive deeper or give it a shot or whatever, I mean I'm biased obviously because of the living room, but I do think that is a good place. When I was younger, it was really hard for me to relate to a lot of the Christians that I would see around me or watch, because I didn't grow up in it. I still am very, I'm not wired necessarily in the way that a lot of are, like, they're incredible and love that, but like I just didn't necessarily like connect with them outside of faith.
Right.
Which made it difficult for me, because I was like, I felt just so different, which I think is also great. And I think a lot of us are different regardless. It's not that big of a deal, but I feel like I related. So the reason I wanted to start the living room was because I was like, I wish that there was something like this when I was younger, or even right now, where I could really connect. Now I know so many people that that's not really like a fear of mine or anything, but I just remember what it felt like at that point.
Yeah.
But with struggling with faith, I think you're in a better place, to just be honest with it, than if you weren't. And also, it doesn't have to be this thing where you go back and you're reading your Bible 5 hours a day. Like, I literally can never tell you one time where I've ever done that.
Yeah.
But just like even small things, I always recommend as far as devotionals, there's this 40-day prayer challenge by Mark Batterson.
Okay.
My favorite devotional to ever exist. I'm going through it for like the 17th time. That's really great. Just listening to like some sermons, whatever, reading plans, but just like really steps is what it takes. I remember when my brother passed away, I couldn't even pray. Like, the only thing I could say was Jesus. Like, I'd never known what it felt like to like really not be able to pray. Like, I don't know how to describe it. I just like couldn't say anything. And I was so just almost like, I had so many emotions that I just kind of was numb.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a slow process. I was really lucky because I was in Bible college at the time, so I had a lot of people around me in that degree that, like, could give me advice. But it was a slow process where I also realized, like, yes, like, there are the questions of, like, why would God allow this to happen? But at the same time, for me, I was like, okay, well, really all I have is God. Like, I don't really have a choice to where I'm going to run at this point besides here.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's just being honest. Like, God can handle your emotions. It's a totally normal place to be. And it's just kind of like slow and steady steps.
Yeah. I think one thing that also, like, prevents me from going back is, like, I went to a Christian high school for 2 years. I lived in Oklahoma in high school. So I was not in a good place at that time. Like, that just, the environment was so toxic, and, like, I gained a lot of weight. I got really depressed. The people there were just not nice to me. Yeah. And so I think I associate also, like, God and, like, Christianity, for example, with that time in my life. And I think, like, it's scary for me to go back to that because it was so hard, and I've worked, you know, so I've come so far since then, and I'm a completely different person than I was. And so I feel like if I go back to that kind of mindset, then, like, it's going to just start all over and the same thing is going to happen, when I know that it's not. It's just like a PTSD kind of, like, trigger.
No, that's literally, like, my testimony. Like, I started going to youth group, like, on my own. I had some, like, very traumatic things happen when I was around, like, 12 years old, and I ended up going to church camp, like, so Texas, Oklahoma, right? I got saved there, and I went from, like, 0 to 100 as far as, like, being involved in church, and, like, I found a place where I felt safe, and, like, at first it was really great, and it was really great, and I think I definitely still, like, credit where credit's due, it was kind of my foundation, and it was great for me for a certain period of time at the time. And then as things went on, you know, sometimes, unfortunately, I don't think this is the church at large, but there are, in any people group, there's always going to be people who suck, and there's always going to be people who are mean, and unfortunately, like, It's the saddest to me when it's Christians, because it's like, you should be the nicest of anyone, but that's not always the case.
Yeah.
And that was, like, the first place that I don't want to say bullied, but, like, that's what it would have been. But I had never, like, so long story short, the people didn't really like me that much there. I definitely thought, like, I think I was just, like, a little bit too progressive for them.
Yeah.
And the ways that, like, the churches that I'm involved in now are already, but I think that I kind of had that vision and that heart before I found a church that was similar, right? So
yeah.
They just didn't like me. Long story short, I ended up leaving. Like, there were these horrible things that were said about, like, things that had happened to me that, like, became a, like, topic of gossip in the youth group. And I went and I sat with my youth pastor, and, like, keep in mind, I'm, like, head of leadership of every, like, I'm, like, on leadership for everything. I'm at every single event they have almost every night of the week. And I was like, I don't even feel like I want to be here anymore. Like, I don't even feel safe. Like, this is just, like, so beyond not okay. And he was just like, well, then just don't come. And he is someone of very tough love. So, like, knowing him, it's not as horrible as it sounds, but that's what he said. And so I stopped. And I didn't like Christianity. I didn't like, and because I didn't like that church, I didn't like Christianity. And then in June, I ended up not liking God, right?
Yeah.
So I went through years of that where I was like, I will never go back. I like who I am now so much more, like, blah, 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 whatever. And then I was living in LA, and I finally got to a point where I was just, like, so low, and I knew what was missing in my life, but I had really just gone through years of, like, hating the church and hating kind of everything to do with it. And I was so low, someone got me to go, or I ended up going to Hillsong. Like, I actually asked someone to go with them. And I remember sitting there, and it was way more of, like, and I remember sitting there around people who looked like me, who acted like me, who weren't perfect. And that night I was like, okay, I'm going to come back, but I'm going to have to relearn so many things, because there were so many things that, you know, had been taught to me growing up that I never agreed with and never actually believed, but that's still what I ended up kind of associating church as.
Yeah.
So it ended up being a journey of, like, relearning and making, like, my journey my own, not in the way of, like, changing, like, the Bible or anything like that, but just in a way of, like, I actually don't think that that's what Christianity really is.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to, like, dive deeper into this for myself. But, like, literally, same thing. I avoided going back. I didn't want to go back, but I was, like, kind of interested. And I was like, okay, but these people are so mean. I don't want to be like them.
Yeah.
And then I ended up going back, but I get it.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that, because I know it's, like, not easy to open up about stuff like that. And I really enjoyed, like, seeing your point of view, because I definitely, like, am kind of in the same space that you used to be in. And it's nice to hear that, like, I'm not alone, and that this happens to other people. And, yeah, so Thank you for that. That's definitely like really helpful. Has YouTube at all like affected your relationship with God? Like, has it made it harder, easier?
I don't know if it's affected my relationship with God as much as it's affected my relationship with work. Like, I talk a lot of really unhealthy work habits, and it wasn't the numbers on the screen, but it was how hard I worked. And so, because, like, YouTube gave me a career at 18. I mean, it wasn't, like, given. I worked for it, but that's norm. And I'm, like, Enneagram type 3. I'm overachiever. I want to work 24/7. It's my favorite thing in the world. And so I think I ended up kind of putting – like work as like a huge idol in my life, like my life revolved around it rather than like now what I believe like should be the place for like where God was in my life. So I think that made a big difference. It wasn't necessarily like being on YouTube and like people saying anything, but it was how it was where I put my career in my life and how at one point everything revolved around that, and that's all I cared about.
Yeah, I feel that. I'm definitely like, I'm a people pleaser. And so I'm a type two. So I literally will do like anything to go out of my way to make sure other people are happy, whether that like, if I'm not happy, I don't care. If I'm making someone else happy, if I'm spending all my money on someone else, like, I don't care as long as other people are happy. And so yeah. I definitely have to take a step back and be like, you're not there. You're not good mentally, which I also like, thank you for talking about your mental health. Because that's such a big thing and people don't realize it. Like, it is a real thing. And I've struggled with it since I was 15. And so I talk about it all the time. And you go to therapy, like, I love that you talk about going to therapy because some people are like shamed by that, which therapy is a normal thing. And I wish everyone went to therapy. It's so great. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm similar. Like, I definitely put school and like work in front of everything else in my life, and I need to take a step back sometimes and realize like, hey, these aren't like your priorities right now.
Yeah, I think even priorities, it's what you make your biggest priority in life, I feel like often really kind of parallels to where you find your worth.
Yeah.
And then I think one, when your priorities are kind of out of whack, the rest of your life naturally will be, and then you'll slowly start to find your worth and your validation in that. And I think that's when it gets really unhealthy, because it's like priorities is one thing and that's already like not the best. But then when it translates to that's where you find your worth, like you're kind of a little bit done for. Like, that's my number one thing. I was talking to my therapist yesterday, of course. And she's like, but where do you feel like you're finding your worth? And I'm like, obviously Jesus. And she's like, yeah, no, I don't think so. Like, I was like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, my therapist is so, like, blunt and straight to the point. She's like, well, maybe not. And I'm like, okay, you're right. You're right.
I'm like, okay, whatever. Anyways.
Yeah. Okay, to jump completely to another, like, topic, the last question is, what are your dreams, like, in your life? What is, like, I guess your biggest dream right now?
That's so hard. I feel like things change all the time. Honestly, I think my biggest dream is to just have like a very like life-giving life and family. Not in the sense of like I want to be a stay-at-home mom. Like, I'm not strong enough for that at all. But like, I come from like a very broken family. So like, I want to be, I don't know if you know who Erwin McManus is, but I'm like on this Erwin McManus kick. He's the pastor of Mosaic. And I think the McManuses are the coolest family ever. They are so creative and they have such a, I really relate a lot to like the ways they think, and that's kind of hard to find in ministry, but they're in a lot of different spheres. Like, I definitely want like part of my life to be in ministry, and like who I will marry was probably going to be in that. So it's like, that's a big part. But I think like my biggest dream is like, I want to have my hand in a lot of different things. So I don't think there's like one thing where I'm like, end all be all, this has to be it. But like, I want like a life-giving family where everyone is like healthy and taken care of and feels like they can like accomplish the world and do whatever they want. But I also want to have my hand in a lot of different things, like business, ministry, entertainment, whatever that might be.
I love that. I really do like that. Okay. Well, now we're going to play a little game. So I went through your Spotify just to make it a little more fair, and we're going to do like a finish the lyric. I'm not going to sing it because I can't sing, but we just have six songs. I think I picked pretty easy ones. One of them.
Good. I'm like, wait, I might be really bad at this, but no, good.
I think I picked easy ones. Okay, so the first one, and I'll give you like the song as a hint if you need it after I read the lyric. Okay, so the first one, and now it's all green lights, all the doors open. You know you're at the start.
Wait, what's the song?
It's Kissing Other People by Len and Stella.
Okay, wait, and dang it. Now I don't even know what part of the song that is. Why? This is like one of my favorite artists. Okay.
Right after the chorus. The first chorus.
I think I'm going to lose this one, the first song. And now it's all green lights.
All the doors open. You know you're at the start.
I'm going to fail it. I don't know why. I can't think of it.
It's When You're Diving In.
It's so hard, I think, especially because I would do the same thing because I can't sing, so like I'm not going to sing it. But it's hard when you say it because I'm like, wait, like I can't picture it. Yeah. I love Len and Stella, though.
I love her, too. If I could sing, I would totally sing it, but...
No, I get it. I can't either. I wouldn't do it either. I totally, yeah.
Okay, the next one I feel like is kind of easier. It was on TikTok a while ago as a
song. Oh, God, no, I'm not good at TikTok, but continue. Okay.
It's in your Spotify, so okay. Hopefully you know.
Sometimes Quentin does stuff, so, like, I don't know all of these. Okay. Oh, wait. Also, some of these playlists are collaborative. So this might be... Okay, continue. Okay,
hopefully
sorry.
Hopefully you know it. Monday night was definitely not our night. Tuesday night was just another fight.
This is on the Yeehaw Bobs, isn't it?
Yes.
What is the song?
Heartless by Diplo and Morgan Wallen.
Oh, I do love a song. Wednesday night. Oh my gosh, I can hear it in my head and I can't get it. Wait, okay. Monday night was definitely not our night. Tuesday night was just another fight, mm-hmm. Right? Wednesday night... I don't know. I don't know why I'm so bad at this now.
I put you on the spot. It's okay. Wednesday, I thought everything would change.
Oh. That's not what I would have guessed, so.
It's okay. You were close. Okay, the next one. Do you want me to just give you the song ahead of time?
Yeah, because then that might help. Watch me lose literally all of these, but it's fine. I'm a team player. I'm here.
This is Fergalicious.
I got this one. Okay.
All the time I turn around, brothers gather around, always looking at me up and down, looking at my
I just want to, wait, all the time I turn around, I was looking at my down, looking at my Wait, is that a little drama, little mama, right?
Yeah.
I'm like butchering it. Okay, wait. I'm trying to say it in my head because like I can't say it out loud because it's too embarrassing, but I know the rap like forwards and back. I literally grew up on this song with my cousins. Okay.
I can
rap. Always looking at my upper down, looking at my, I just want to, da da da, little drama, little mama, I don't want to say your name, and I know I'm coming off just a little bit conceited, and I keep on repeating how the boys want to eat it. I, like, skipped a few lines in there, but I just had to redeem myself.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to you. You got the idea.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Is Country Girl, Shake It For Me by Luke Bryan.
Oh, God, okay.
Got a little boom in my big truck, and then finished lyric. It's, like, the first.
Okay, I can tell, Country Girl, Shake It For Me. I don't even know what this would be part of. This is why I'm not getting them, though, because they're collaborative playlists, so it's not what I listen to normally.
Dang it.
I know the song, Country Girl, Shake It For Me. I'm going to get this one wrong.
I'm not singing for it. Singing. So it's just going to open up the doors and turn it up.
Think about, like, when you hear these lyrics said, I'm like, oh, that's what that means. I was like, I never got that.
Okay, the next one is a completely random song that Amaya told me to put in. So blame Amaya.
Okay, because...
I don't know if you know it. It is the most random song I think she could have put. So the song is... If I say the song, it's going to, like, give away the lyric.
Say the song.
It's Heaven Is a Place on Earth by Belinda Carlisle.
Oh, great. I don't know the song, I don't think.
So, ooh, baby, do you know what that's worth?
Heaven Is a Place on Earth? Okay, that's my guess. Ooh, okay, yay, I got it.
Yay. Okay, and the last one, you should know because you love Dolly. Jeez.
Okay, thank God. But watch me, like, butcher this even though I actually do listen to Dolly every day.
It's Jolene.
Oh, okay.
And Your Beauty Is Beyond Compare with Flaming Locks of Auburn Hair.
And I cannot compete with you, Jolene.
No, there's right? No for that.
Okay. Ivory Skin and Something With You, Jolene.
With Ivory Skin and Emerald and Eyes of Emerald Green.
Okay. I'm getting halfway there.
You got halfway there. You got half of them. I think that's pretty good. Because
I was expecting to get zero.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like, props to you for even trying, because that would not have gone well for me if I was doing it.
It's harder than it seems. Like, I think it's just being put on the spot. Like, if I was just doing this, like, not on the spot, I would maybe do better. Maybe.
And if you heard the song, like, playing, and then I paused it, you'd
yeah.
Oh, yeah. But then it's just, like, I almost did, like, a guess the song, but that wouldn't have been as fun. I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, no, this was fun. This was a good game. I'm just not good at it.
One random question. What's your zodiac sign?
I'm a Leo.
Okay. I don't like Leo guys, but Leo girls, like, you got it. It's fine. I'm a Libra, hardcore. Like, I stand by it and everything. Uh-huh. It's just my star sign.
No, it's super fun. I like the like, memes when it's, like, doing, yeah. like, certain, like, shows or, like, Sex and City or whatever. They're funny.
Yeah, they are really funny. I like seeing it and just seeing how true it is most of the time. I'm like, yep, that's me. Oh, this was so much fun. I, like, really appreciate you coming on and just opening up and being super vulnerable about, like, your faith and everything like that. It's, like, it was really good to sit down and talk to you. And again, like, I'm honored. This was so much fun.
Oh my gosh, I'm honored. Thank you for having me. I'm sorry I did so poorly on the game, but I'll try to get better.
Yeah, it's okay. We're not perfect. But yeah, really, like, thank you so much. And hopefully we can do it again soon.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Girl. It was so much fun. Such an honor to interview Kenzie Elizabeth. She will definitely be on again. I hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Girl the Podcast. Be sure to follow Kenzie Elizabeth at Kenzie Elizabeth on Instagram. Be sure to subscribe and give us a rating if you guys enjoyed. I hope you guys have the best week ever. You guys are going to kill it. I know school is starting back up. We kind of talked about school a little bit last week, but with school starting back up, just be patient with yourself and remind yourself that it's okay to rest and not do all your work at once. Just take it slow. And you got this. I'm here. I support you. And I just know you're going to do your best this week. So thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll see you guys next week. Mwah.